One of our favorites, a weekly of ours, John Fanta, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. John, how are we doing today?
What is happening, my friends? It's great to be with you guys. Happy early 4th of July to you two and everybody in Cleveland.
Exactly right. Hey, let me ask you, before we get into, we got some new news on Kevin Durant shaking up things a little bit around the Cavs, some more things to discuss with the Guardians and everything else in between. I saw you tweeting about the college basketball video game. Has it ever crossed your mind that you like could be the voice of a video game? Like, I mean, like a college basketball video game's got to have you involved in some way. I don't know if like the NBA 2K games where they have like all the breaking news reporters or something. Like, there's got to be some involvement of you in that game. But like, does it ever cross your mind that one day you'll likely be the voice of a video game?
Oh man, you know, yeah. Well, then my wife just said, "Hey, you know, can you go change another diaper?" and quickly that vision and dream JP and Spencer gets cut away by reality. You know what though? I'll tell you this: like in real time, people always say, "Hey, have you ever thought about? Have you ever?" I will say when the news dropped yesterday that you know EA Sports or 2K or both are developing a college basketball video game, this is what you have a representation for. Immediately, I got a text, you know, from my agent who said, "Hey, just know that I've already put your name out there, and we'll see what we can do." So. To put it,
love that.
I mean, that would be the coolest thing ever. Like, I say that with total and absolute humility. That, like, you guys know this, because you work in the same field. Like, we never quote, you know, fanboy too much. That being said, if somebody wants me to be in some sort of a video game, God Almighty, that is the coolest thing ever. And I just hope whatever the video game figure looks like, that it gets me from my good side.
I just love that you're in the mix, John. I needed you in the mix.
Yeah, that's exciting.
I love that you're in the mix. You should be.
I would love that. I would love that.
We just broke some news.
You never know. We'll see. Oh, never say never. I got no news other than yes, I would love to be included. Who wouldn't want to be included in a video game?
Yeah, I mean, we all would. At some point, maybe you can just make them just force in a creator player with my name, image, and likeness, and we can make the game a lot cheaper for him, John. I'll tell you that much.
Hey, guys, there's this new big man in College Hoops 2028. Nick Wilson is a dominant center. Oh, wait a minute, guys. Wilson got in trouble off campus last week. He's suspended for the next three games.
That sounds about right. That sounds like that would go.
John Fanta joining us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, I'm going to play a couple clips for you, okay, John? Because this is now, it's broken within the last half hour or so, so I don't know what you've heard and what you haven't heard. We actually, it's caught off so recently, we ourselves have not even had a chance to react to it. But Kevin Durant was on LeBron James' podcast. You know, he does this podcast with Steve Nash. And so the three of them got talking about Darius Garland and 6'2 and under guards. We'll start with Nash, and then we'll work our way to Durant. Here we go.
Darius Garland, like, he's an amazing basketball player. I think his value right now, we don't talk about him as like this amazing, like, because the era, like if he played in any other era, I think he would have been like, his value would be through the roof. Like, he's that skilled, he's water bug, he's got every shot, he can play make. But there's an era where it's like, okay, we also have to help that dude out defensively all the time.
Yeah, man.
Like, that's an example for me because he's such a good basketball player.
Which sounds nice. Like, that sounds like a complimentary thing. But then Durant got to talking, and this is what Durant had to say.
He is, and it's like, but the defensive side of the ball is where, you know, people were attacking. Mm-hmm. If you want a chance to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, you are going at Darius Garland most of the time on the defensive side.
All right, what do you make of that with Durant there?
Well, I think it's factual. I mean, that's why I, on this show, have said that if there's a player out of the core four that I would look at moving, it is Garland, because he is undersized. But more importantly, it doesn't fit all the way with Donovan Mitchell. You know, I think that there's got to be a bigger guard in place with Donovan Mitchell. Like, Darius Garland's value, and I know that the injury creates some hurdles, guys, but Darius Garland's value coming off of this past season will have never been greater than what it is right now. You'd have to be willing to deal with him coming off of an injury, but it's not something that, you know, this isn't an ACL or something that's going to severely hold him back going forward. So if you're going to acquire value, you have to trade it. You have to be willing to take an educated risk when you make a move. Now, I know that there's been rumblings today saying, you know, the core four is not going anywhere and that the Cavs are going to continue on with what they've been doing. I respect that. I get it. You know, Kobe Altman and Mike Gansey have built this thing out, and the fact is that this team did win 64 games. But I don't disagree with Kevin Durant. Is he being harsh? Yes. You know, I might be called harsh on this show, and I've said on the morning show as well. I've disagreed with somebody over there in a friendly way. That I don't think that Garland is the answer to winning a championship. We're not talking about winning 64 games. We're not talking about winning a playoff series or two playoff series. The Cleveland Cavaliers are supposed to go into next season thinking about one thing, winning it all. And I do not believe that they are in the tier A on paper to win it all, because I have not been able to trust Darius Garland on the playoff stage. If you say back to me, that's unfair, he was hurt. Here's what I will say back to that. You better be damn right come next June, because the worst thing you can do is say, we're going to stay status quo, and we believe in what we've got. And, you know, Lonzo Ball's not that. That's not status quo. They made a change. Come on. I mean, it's a complimentary piece. If you stay status quo in any league and you don't reach the goal that is supposed to be very realistic, being late to acknowledge the reality can diminish the value in what you're able to do. That's just plain and simple the fact. Am I being harsh? Maybe I am. Because I'm looking at it from the lens of the Cavs should be looking for a parade next summer, not to win two series.
John, along those lines, as you talk about winning a title and going all in for it, there has been LeBron hysteria the last couple of days with all the reporting out of him picking up his player option and opting in. And he knows the Lakers are prioritizing the future, but he also wants to win and all these different things. And that always seems to necessitate a conversation about whether or not LeBron should come back to Cleveland. If it was up to you, John, as you sit here and talk to us about they got to be all in, they got to make changes, they got to go try to win a championship, would you be open to trying to bring LeBron back to Cleveland if he requested a trade?
Would I be open? Of course. Because Donovan Mitchell, LeBron James, and Evan Mobley, with some shooting, is going to win it all. It provided that, knock on wood, provided everybody's healthy. It gets them over the top. LeBron James is still performing at a very high level. And for those who think otherwise, you're not watching. This is not, you know, I saw somebody yesterday say, well, you know, he could take a pay cut and be on the move. Well, yeah, if he were on one leg and he were just trying to, like, have a swan song being the fifth or sixth best player on a team, you know, go with a Jordan Wizards thing, this is not bad. He's still one of the best players in the game. You know, is he top five today in 2025? I don't know. I'm probably not. Because just by virtue of guys are younger, guys are more productive over a longer span of time within the season. But are you telling me in the playoffs, are you telling me in the postseason that you're going to go against that guy in the wine and gold and Donovan Mitchell, and if they were able to hang on to Mobley and all this, and they got some three-point shooting? Like, come on. You ask me if he's open to it. Do I think it's realistic? My answer would be no. I don't think it's truly realistic. But the question wasn't if I thought it was realistic or not. The question was, would I be open to it? Heck yeah. heck yes. Come on. Because I know what that guy's capable of, and I know how motivated he would be to win one more.
John Vanta joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. John, Guardians obviously in a rough stretch. I know we've done this now 2 weeks in a row where we have you. You're not a wind-up doll for us, I promise, where we just yell about the offense and then we rage about the offense. But this is a pivotal stretch for the Guardians over this next little nine-game outcome here. Cubs tonight, three-gamer there. You got to take on the Tigers after that. It's not an easy schedule up ahead. Is this the pivotal stretch for the Guardians, though, in deciding whether or not they buy or they sell at the deadline or wave the white flag on the season?
Well, I think that they are going to sell some at the deadline. To what degree is what the next 2 weeks before the All-Star break will determine. They'll call it in their front office, you know, being strategic. But let's face it, guys, they're far from a championship caliber team, and they're far from even a team right now that would be in a championship series. It's the playoffs starting today. They're three games back of the last wild card, which is a little bit comedic in the American League, to be candidly honest. The fact is, if you go 2 weeks from now, you go into the All-Star break, look, you got to play better baseball. I mean, the fact that Chase DeLauter isn't up yet, what are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you waiting on? Like, I don't understand, guys. It'd be like owning a steakhouse, right? And you have a wide open table for a family of eight in the front of the steakhouse. And a family of eight walks in and you have no reservations and you got a world-class chef. And the family of eight says, "Hey, could we get a table?" And you said, "Ah, no, you know, maybe you should try that fast food restaurant down the road." I'm not going to disparage any fast food restaurant, but maybe you should go down the road. They got a nice value meal. You just lost $500. You're like, well, what are we doing? And if you come back to me and say right now, we don't know if he's out. Who cares? So what? So he has a rough patch if he comes up here and doesn't hit the baseball. He's ready to go. Do not tell me that the alternative is going a lot better than what Chase DeLauter would bring. It can't get any worse. This offense stinks. It stinks.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have. They have more than half their lineup is 4A hitters. You know, it's Matt LaPorta's and Luis Valbuena territory. This is the worst offense they've had, in my humble opinion, since Manny Acta was managing in Cleveland. It's been a long time since they've been this poor offensively. And they even had some years where they made the playoffs and they were not a good offensive team. But this team, the month of June was a disaster, an absolute disaster, where it's like the pitching was the seventh best ERA in the league in June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're over-relying on your pitching. They have to change some things up. They got to put it together, and it's got to start right now. And don't, you know, when you say, oh, well, it's a tough week, you know what? Right now, the Guardians wouldn't, the way they've been playing, they wouldn't beat anybody. You got to figure it out right here, right now. Hope that off day and a trip to Wrigley, get out of Cleveland, because Lord knows that didn't help, and put some better baseball together, man.
John, along those lines, and with all those grievances in mind that I think we all share with this team right now, would you say that the Guardians have wasted Jose Ramirez?
No, I don't subscribe to that, because they made the ALCS last year, and I've said this before, guys. Like, I wish they had done something more in the off season. But when you look at the climate of baseball, and the third wild card on both sides has created a bit of a dilemma. That's why I actually think the Guardians, you know, this might sound like a loser mentality, because I'm Mr., you know, go for it, right? The third wild card right now in the American League is just, it's so far away from the level of the top tier teams in a 5 or 7 game series, in my opinion. I know you want to get in, and in 2023, the Diamondbacks and the Rangers both ended up, you know, making it to the World Series, and it was kind of a quirky year. And I argued that a couple weeks ago. But what I would say is, like, I don't want to paint the false reality here. Like, this team is who they are. As rewarding as last year was, is as frustrating as this season has been. And I think that that's the part that stinks. But I do think, and maybe you guys will have some sort of a take off of this going forward, but this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, it's the dog days of summer, and this baseball team is playing some pretty poor baseball. So then what happens is we get into a vacuum because there's nothing else going on. And we say, well, now we try to go super big picture on baseball when we're reacting day to day. And look, the day to day for the Guardians has been bad. But they've been in the postseason 6 of the last 9 years. And in 2017, I know it's a little bit of a ways away, they did make some transactions that said, hey, we're going to spend, we're going to go for it. Last year, the transactions, the moves that they made, Lane Thomas ended up having the biggest hit of the season. So the point is, though, that third wild card is adding a lot of clutter across the league. And so the problem is the trade deadline's not, like, you might have another deadline where it's not as active, yeah, but these organizations don't know what to do because they don't want to send the wrong message to their fans, too, and sell everything off. Whereas if the Guardians continue to go downhill for their future and to make the most of what's remaining of the Ramirez era, the irony is they might be best served by selling some assets off and saying, here's how we do this in 2026. Because this is bad. Chris Antonetti, to me, everyone's like, get rid, you know, people are really going off the deep end. I do think these guys can be afforded a year like this, a bad year. And you have to say, this cannot happen again. You just have to say it. You have to come back next season with him. But when you've been to the playoffs, the amount that you've been with Jose, and you've had the teams you've had and the pitching you've had, I don't think that they have just wasted Jose Ramirez. I don't believe that.
John, fantastic stuff as always. Appreciate the insight, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate you guys. Happy 4th, Cleveland.
Good stuff right there from local kid done good, John Fant, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll put it out to you guys, 216-474-0092. Is Kevin Durant right about Darius Garland? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.